Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to CPA Review and More. We go all over the country, all over the world, looking for the most dynamic guests. And in fact, this guy is so dynamic, I know him personally. And I was actually talking to Kevin Kelly, his name is. And Kevin, how long did we decide we know each other?
Well, first, Phil, thanks for the kind introduction. I think we think it was early 2000s, maybe 2000, maybe 99.
Yeah, and Kevin's wife actually took my CPA review course, the live review course. So we really go back a long time. And Kevin is a recruiter, and by the way, has a very successful, can I say successful, Kevin?
I think so, sure.
Yeah, he has a very successful recruiting firm, and he'll tell you exactly who he recruits, and we can talk about what the market is like for the different areas that he recruits, and we'll just take it from there. So anyway, Kevin, how long, your company is Spectrum, is it still Spectrum Careers or Spectrum yeah. Financial Services?
Spectrum Careers, you can find us at spectrumcareers.com. Been at this since 97, so, what was that, 22, 23 years now?
Kevin, your firm recruits what type of people?
So we focus on three skill sets, accounting and finance, which we kind of group together. We recruit IT professionals and HR professionals. I run the accounting side of things. My background is accounting. I was a CPA. And I was in public accounting, I was in corporate accounting, and as I said earlier, I've been in recruiting for the last 20 plus years.
Who'd you work for in accounting? I don't remember.
At the time, it was Pricewaterhouse. Obviously, now it's PwC. I stayed there about 7 years as an audit manager, and then I left and got into corporate accounting. I was an assistant controller for a public telecom company here in Northern Virginia.
So what made you go into the recruiting business?
When I made the transition into corporate accounting, as I mentioned, I was in the SEC function or assistant controller function doing the SEC reporting, the 10K, the 10Q. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. I liked the company and I liked the leadership of that company. But I'd always wanted to have my own business. And after spending a couple years in that role, I had a buddy that was doing recruiting, and he was telling me a little bit about the recruiting profession and what the role's like and what you do. And it was appealing to me because of the human interaction, the client interaction, getting to learn a lot about various companies and what they do. And, kind of how they run their business. And that was attractive to me. And it was a business that I thought I could be good at. So, I took a little bit of a leap of faith and kind of jumped in.
Yeah, because generally people who work in accounting are not people persons, right? Isn't that right? I mean,
I think accounting sort of has that stereotype, but I think if you look at some of the, top accountants, especially in the public accounting sector, you have to have a personality. A lot of it is about the client relationship and managing that relationship, managing expectations. And so if you don't have, the people skills, the personality, I think it's tough in public accounting to.
Yeah, but you're talking about now. You're talking about now, right?
Right, yeah. Right?
But when you got into this business, all right, what did you find? All right, you were at PwC, right?
Right.
What did you find the personalities of the people who you worked with, the partners? Were they dynamic people?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you're right, Phil. I mean, a lot of them were sort of, you know, bookish, if you will. And they're certainly very bright people, very analytical, probably more comfortable, you know, in front of a computer or with numbers than they may be with people. But, you know, if you looked at, you know, the guy that ran our firm, like I was named Jim, but I mean, he was a super personality. And, you know, I think that's why he became kind of the managing partners. If you had that combination, you know, in public accounting, that was kind of a rare combination. And those folks would, you know, take leadership roles. It's like that leadership ability that you know, they look for in public accounting.
And they had to bring in clients. So obviously they had to have some personality to know how to deal and get, you know, they're basically salespeople. Did you ever consider yourself, I mean, recruiting is a type of selling, is it not?
Sure. And kind of getting back to, you know, why I transitioned into recruiting, and it's not that we don't work hard, we do. I mean, you definitely have to hustle. But, you know, as you mentioned, when I looked at the path in public accounting and the hours and the weekends and as you mentioned, kind of, you know, the partners and sort of the stress they were under, you know, I just thought there might be a better path. You know, all that said, I think the firms have progressed a ton. I still think they work a lot of hours, but I think they do a better job of managing that today.
Who do you recruit? I mean, do you deal with entry level or experience? What kind of people are you dealing with?
So we have in the accounting division here, we have 20 recruiters, and we recruit from everything from a CFO all the way through, you know, an accounts payable professional. And it really comes down to within our office, you know, the level of experience you have. So I've been doing this 20 years. So I'm recruiting more of the controllers, the CFOs, the VPs, whereas some of our more, you know, inexperienced recruiters are working more on the accounts payable, payroll, staff accountants. But I would say the market where it's really strong is sort of the, you know, the 2 to 10 year professional. I mean, that is where all the demand is from a senior accountant to, you know, an accounting manager, reporting manager, finance manager. You know, we can't find enough of those types of skill sets.
Must they have CPAs to get any place?
So within the accounting function, corporate and public accounting, most firms and most corporations will not promote you into a manager role unless you have the CPA designation.
And this is public accounting as well as corporate, right?
Correct.
Now, what about the CMA? Do you have a lot of people will take CMAs in lieu of CPAs? You find that at all?
You know, I've seen that. You know, in my experience, I don't think there's the equivalency. I don't, you know, the CPA or the public accounting firms, the corporate accounting firms, I don't, you know, they're going to want somebody to be a CPA. If you have a CMA, it's nice, but, you know, the issue becomes you're going to be managing others that are going to have the CPA designation, and they feel like there's a disconnect there if the manager doesn't have that.
Now, do they need or should they have, in addition to the CPA, would having an MBA, would that make a difference as far as, you know, how they progress in the company?
So, you know, a number of the positions that we work on, really more on the finance type roles, will, they'd say MPA, MBA preferred. It's not always required, but.
What kind of MBAs are we talking about? From what type of schools?
I mean, you know, again, it depends on the corporation. If it's a Fortune 500, if it's a public publicly traded company, if it's a specialty finance company or a finance company, they're going to want somebody from a top MBA program. If it's, you know, a company outside of that, it's sort of a mid-tier company, maybe smaller in revenue, not public, you know, the sort of blue blood MBA is not necessarily required. They may not pay a premium for it, but it, you know, it may help you perform better in your role. I think when companies and corporations are making hiring decisions, they're not going to say, well, this woman has the MBA and this guy does not, we're going to hire the MBA. They're going to go with who they think is best overall for the position.
So let's separate the areas between accounting and finance. All right. Mm-hmm. First of all, accounting, if you want to get to a management position, you need a CPA. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. I don't think you need an MBA though.
Okay. So you don't need an MBA.
No.
Now, if you're going into the finance area, all right, first of all, you must have a major in finance, right?
I've seen, you know, a lot of the clients that I work with, believe it or not, like the accounting foundation. They like the professional that started in accounting, obtained the CPA designation, and then transitioned into finance because they believe they have a better foundation than the finance guys because they can learn the finance side and they always have the accounting foundation. The finance guys that just started as finance, they never learn the accounting. They never, you know, they don't go back and learn the accounting. So they're kind of, they have a bit of a blind spot sometimes. So, you know, I've seen preference paid to folks that have the accounting and CPA foundation.
Because, you know, we now have the 150-hour rule in accounting to, you know, get the CPA, you know, the fifth year. And I know, and tell me if this is still true, a lot of people say, hey, I don't want to become a CPA. I don't want to go this fifth year. You know what? I'll just get a undergraduate degree in finance, and that's only 4 years. I don't have to pay the extra year of tuition costs, whatever. And actually, is it true that finance majors start higher than accounting?
Well, yeah, you can. I think it's person dependent. If you are a top finance professional,
and what does that mean?
Okay. So if you go to a highly selective school, if you have a, you know, GPA over 3.5, if you're quantitative finance, then, you know, they do start high. They're going to be hired by the investment banks. So if you're going to be hired by the investment banks or specialty finance companies, you're going to make more than the entry-level audit professional in a public accounting firm. But with that, the investment banking analysts are working, if you think the public accounting folks work a lot, the IB analysts are working, you know, 80 hours a week, weekend, every weekend, Saturday till 5-6 o'clock, Sunday till, you know, 1 o'clock. And that's, you know, year round. So you'll make more, but you're going to earn it.
Do you have to go, if you're working in the finance area, should you go for one of the certifications, the CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst? Do you need that to invest in finance?
The CFA designation is just as required as the CPA.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So actually, it sounds like maybe if you want to go into finance, you could major in accounting, you know, get the CPA. And if you wanted to, you can go into finance where you don't necessarily have that, you know, flexibility if you major in finance and then you decide, hey, I want to become an accountant also. I mean, isn't that true? It basically works. You know, an accountant can go into accounting or finance, where a finance person can only go into finance. It's a little harder to get into the accounting arena. Is that true?
Right, correct. You know, I don't know how to put this, but the finance guys never have the desire to go back and get the accounting. Whereas the accounting guys, you know, sort of, I don't want to say like take their medicine, but they, you know, they lay the foundation for that career. you know, up front that the finance guys never do.
Is there a greater demand for accountants or finance people now?
Accounting.
It is accounting.
Yes.
And it's harder to get those people than finance people?
Well, from what I understand, there's less people pursuing accounting.
And what's the reason for that?
I think the, you know, the compared to when I was coming out, and I graduated in 1990, I think the explosion of IT, you know, all the IT opportunities, cybersecurity and programming and you know, the rest of it, it's the person that was interested in accounting, kind of, you know, my generation, a lot of them are now channeled to the IT profession.
Well, there are, because I talked to, you know, other, we've had guests on here, and a lot of them are CPAs who are not, I mean, maybe they've worked in a public accounting firm, one of the big four, for a couple of years, and with that experience, then they go into, like, advisory services.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, they're in also into artificial intelligence, you know, bots, cloud accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be doing very well. I mean, the ones I speak with, and a lot of them go into the IT areas also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they don't want to go work necessarily and have their career in public accounting. Right?
No. Yeah. So, you know, what I see very often is, you know, for the kind of high performers, they come in, you know, it used to be you'd start in public accounting, you get 2 years of experience, and then you leave for corporate accounting. You know, it was kind of the two and out kind of thing. And I think what the firms have learned is we don't want to lose our top performers. And so they've all developed these consulting practices, and they've, you know, they take those folks and they go, hey, do you want to work in consulting services? Do you want to work in transaction? Do you know, they give them other paths. So again, it's that accounting foundation that all the firms really value. But they give them, you know, there's paths available that weren't there, you know, 25, 30 years
ago.
Well,
to me, consulting sounds sort of very broad. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you become a consultant, what type of work are you doing in the consulting area? So I assume I want to be a consultant, but I like to have more contact with people, all right?
Mm-hmm.
What would I do in consulting?
So, you know, I mentioned
I'm a CPA, right. I do my 2 years of prison, and then I, that's the way a lot of people feel about it. Anyway, then I come out and I say, all right, I got my CPA. I want to go into consulting, but mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Am I going to just grab people off the street and consult with them? I mean, what type of areas could I go into?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few areas. I mean, I would say the highest demand areas are transaction services. So you'd be working for one of the big four firms, assisting outside clients as they, you know, acquire a company or divest of a division. There's a huge demand for that right now. The second area would be, you know, accounting systems or just systems in general, where you devise kind of the client base if they're adopting new accounting systems, if it's, you know, SAP, Workday, whatever the, you know, the software platform that they want to transition to, you'd help them get them up and running on that. The third area would be just process improvement, where, you know, they have an accounting group. It's not running as efficiently as they'd like. So they bring in consultants that do evaluation, they benchmark you against the industry. You know, what kind of headcount should you have? What kind of roles should you have? How can you make your process more efficient? So those are kind of the major areas. I mean, you know, certainly there's forensic accounting, there's litigation support, where companies get into, you know, SEC violations or any sort of legal entanglements, where you'd come in and you'd do you know, sort of financial assessments of impact and those kind of things. So there's a whole host of different ways you can take it.
Now, do you find that a lot of the people say they don't want to take the CPA exam because they're having trouble getting that experience requirement?
I do see that. I also see when people are transitioning in their jobs that's a consideration where they go and who they work with and who they work for. Because I think some of the states require that you work under a CPA, a designated CPA. So I see when folks are transitioning out of public accounting, you know, that's a concern of theirs.
Well, now, National Association of State Boards of Accountancy, all right, you know, a lot of people have that problem. They pass the exam, but they can't get that 1 year of experience either working for a CPA firm or under an accountant who's willing to sign off. So what now NASB has done is, if you're willing to pay $700, all right, they will take your information, even though you're not in public accounting or have that 1 year, and they'll analyze it. There's only about seven or eight states that are doing this now. Montana, New Hampshire, Colorado is one of them. But they will look at your information, and they will do everything they can to get you a place where you can become licensed.
Hmm.
All right. So NASB has just started that recently. So, but I, you know, I think the problem is that most people don't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
So they will say, "Oh, I'm not going to, you know, I don't have the experience requirement. I certainly don't want to work for a CPA." And then all these people going into federal government, you know, they don't take the CPA exam anymore as much as I, because of that 1 year experience working under a CPA.
Right.
And you know, it's interesting. We used to get a lot of people from the federal government taking the CPA exam, all right? And we're seeing less people work for the federal government who take the CPA exam. Now, you don't have to place people in government positions, do you? You don't work with that type of clientele.
Well, I don't work directly with the federal government, but I do work with government contractors who service the federal government. So we have a number of clients that are consulting firms to the federal government that need accountants to go in and help the federal government with their finance and accounting issues.
Do they have to have CPAs who are doing this work?
Yeah, that's the preference, yes.
All right. So these people, have they come from public accounting? I mean, what happens if they graduated and they're willing to be subcontractors, you know, for government contracts, right? But they're having trouble getting the experience requirement, okay? All right. Does any of these subcontracting firms complain about that, that they're having trouble getting people because of this experience requirement?
You know, I don't know if it's the experience requirement. I just think there's such a high demand for accountants that have federal experience. Grant Thornton is very big in this area. Deloitte's very big in this area. You know, those are two of the bigger firms. There are, you know, even more sort of more regional firms here in the D.C. area that hire the same skill set. And there's more opportunities than there are, you know, accounting professionals with that experience. There's high demand for that.
Yeah, so a lot of people complain, they go to search firms, and at first, the search firm shows a lot of interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then if they don't get, you know, interviews, you know, a lot initially, all right, the chances are they don't hear from these recruiters again. And
right.
They have to keep calling them up. All right?
Right.
Is that the way these recruiters work? I mean, you know, that sounds like all they want to do is sign up with them. And then, hey, they'll look at you. And if you're, you know, a good cut of meat, all right, they'll work with you for a while.
Right.
Is that the way they all are? I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about
Well, I mean, look, here's the way it works. We'll pull the curtain back here a little bit. You know, we kind of sit in the middle. We work with all the companies and clients in the greater D.C. area, and we, you know, they tell us kind of where their needs are and where they're hiring. And, you know, we're also at the same time putting out, you know, we're networking with a lot of accounting and finance folks, and we're trying to determine what type of role they're looking for. And so then it's a matter of matching, you know, the right person to the right job. And you know, the difficult thing can become, you know, we're dealing with a high volume of people. And so we're trying to assess, you know, how realistic is the person? So, you know, oftentimes somebody comes in and they say, hey, you know, I want to work 2 miles from my house. I want to work from home 2 days a week. I want a 30% pay increase. I want to move from staff to manager. You know, they have these unrealistic expectations.
What's wrong with that?
And so, and then they don't get a call because, you know, the recruiter's sitting here saying, well, I can't, you know, I can't help this person. I don't have that, you know, I don't have a client that's going to hire them. So, you know, they don't hear back from the recruiter because the person said,
do you tell them up front that your expectations are too high? Do you say that?
A good recruiter will. I mean, a good recruiter should say, hey, listen, you know, let me tell you kind of where the market is. And, you know, you're being a bit aggressive, and that's fine. You can have a high bar, but I can't show you that many opportunities. Now, if you're a little bit more open, you know, as to money, location, whatever it may be, it's just going to open things up and you'll see more. So, you know, and I think the other thing that I hear from candidates is, well, you know, I don't hear back from you guys. Well, so here's what you got to remember. We're probably talking to 30 or 40 candidates a day. And so, you know, like for instance, Phil, if I'm talking to you and you said, hey, I'm looking for a controller position in Montgomery County, here are my criteria, and I kind of take that in, you know, it's nearly impossible for me to give you an update every week to say, hey, here's what's going on. Because, you know, I could be dealing with, a couple hundred people at any given time, and I'd just be spending all my time providing updates. So we spend our time talking to the clients and finding out, hey, where's the need? Where's the, you know, where's the opportunity? And as we find those, then we go back to the candidates that we're working with and we say, hey, Phil would be a good match for this. Let's call Phil and see if he's interested. So, you know, I know people get frustrated in that they don't hear from the recruiter, but what I always tell the candidate is, listen, anytime I can't update you every week. I'd be spending more time updating people than I would be working to get you a job. But anytime you need an update, shoot me an email, shoot me a text, give me a call. I'm happy to provide an update. But, you know, we need to spend our time in front of the clients. My advice would be to people that are considering looking for another job, you want to start looking before you have to look. You know, even though things are going well, it's a benefit to you to form a relationship with a recruiter that you trust, and you can set kind of a high bar. You know, as I said before, you know, I need something close to my house, I'd like a nice raise, you know, I want to take a step up responsibility, this type of company, because it can take a long time to find the right role. And so you want to give yourself enough time to consider opportunities before you're kind of forced to do something. And, you know, the other thing I think people need to realize is recruiters are one kind of channel to get, you know, your next role. The other things that you should be doing is leveraging your network, people that you work with in the past that know your work, folks that you've gone to school with, even neighbors. Most people probably get their job through their own network because those are the people that know them and go, hey, I want to hire Phil.
What percentage of jobs are actually, do people get who are not advertised? Do you have any idea? I mean, you have all these job, what do you call them?
Job boards and things.
That type of thing.
Right, yeah.
But what percentage of the jobs are really not advertised to the public?
I would say half the jobs that we work on are not advertised as a recruiter. Okay. And that's the value of working with a recruiter. I mean, there's a couple of values. The first is we're going to know of opportunities that are out there that aren't advertised, that aren't on the job boards. The second thing in working with a recruiter, and again, you got to work with somebody that you trust, is that we know the companies. We know which companies are good companies to work for, which companies are not good companies to work for. Or what is the culture? You know, not every company is for every person. If you want like a hard charging, lots of hours, but lots of upside, okay, we know who those guys are. Or if you're, you know, maybe you have interests outside of work, you know, you want to work hard, but you only want to work 40, 45 hours a week because you have other interests outside of work. Okay, we know what kind of opportunities there are that, you know, will allow you to do that. So it's really kind of sitting down with the recruiter and outlining what you're trying to accomplish. And then we can give you some ideas, you know, based on your criteria. Here's some companies that make sense, given what you've told us.
People who are not happy at work, they don't have their CPA. Mm-hmm. So they say, I'm going to go look for a job, a new job. I say to them, you know, stay at your old job, get the CPA, and then go out and look. I think you're more marketable. Isn't that correct?
If you have the CPA, you're going to be more marketable than somebody that doesn't have a CPA.
If you come to a company where you're not a CPA, all right, you get a salary, and then mm-hmm. you get certified, all right, mm-hmm. will they give you a substantial raise for having that certification? You know,
some will.
Some will, but not everyone.
Not everybody. You know, and a lot of companies that we work with will say, we either want somebody that's currently a CPA or pursuing the CPA. So if you've passed a part or two and you're scheduled to take the next part in a couple of months, you know, we can talk to the client and say, hey, they got two parts passed, they're on the path. They'll say, okay, fine, let's meet them. So, and again, that's another reason to work with this with a recruiter, is that if you were to send in your resume to them, they're going to go, well, this person is a CPA. But we can tell the story and get you interviews that you otherwise would not get on your own, because a resume just doesn't, you know, connect with them.
Do you show people how to make resumes up when they come in if they have a lousy resume? Do you do that?
Yeah, we provide feedback, guidance, editing on resumes. But, you know, again, here's the reason you work with a recruiter. A lot of my clients, I would say, if not most of my clients, will send a resume. But as soon as they see a resume, they're going to call me and say, hey, this Phil Yeager guy, tell me about him. What's he like? What's his personality like? Do you think he'd fit in here with the culture? You know, tell me more about this guy. You know, all resumes start to look the same. You get a public accounting audit senior, you get, you know, they all start to look the same. They want to know what's the differentiator, which guy fits in with our culture, which woman is the right fit for us. They can't tell that from a resume.
So they wait for you to tell them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's why they engage us, because they want us to do the first screen. They want us to kind of profile the folks that fit their culture, that have the skill set they're looking for.
And are all the positions you get, are they fee paid by the employers, or do the people looking for the jobs have to pay a fee?
There's no fee to the candidates that we work with. The employer pays us our fee.
All right. And you don't do temp work? Are you doing that too?
No, we do. We provide contractors. We don't call it temp, Phil. Contractors, consultants.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't. That's like, you know, human resource people used to be called personnel. Kevin, give yourself a moment to advertise your services. I've known Kevin a long time. He is a top recruiter. If you're looking for a job, give him a call. Well, Kevin, thank you very much for being on this podcast. You take care, Kevin.
Okay. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, thank you, everyone. This is Phil Yeager at CPA Review and More, and we appreciate listening to our podcast. Remember, there's a new one every Tuesday, and if you have any ideas, please write into me, and you can write it into phil.yeager, Y-A-E-G-E-R, at AOL.com. Please send me an email or I always give you my phone number. If you have any questions about anything, you can reach me in Maryland at 301-874-4900, extension 5. All right, if you have questions about anything in CPA Review, you don't have to be any of our students, I will help you. You can reach me 7 days a week. All right, take care, everyone, and thank you again, and be good to each other, and hope to hear from you soon. Bye now.
Thanks so much for listening to CPA Review and More. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.